Both Jack and JB were suffering from mild stomach upsets.
I don't fancy walking around the jungle this morning. Don't like the idea of diving into the bushes and trying to find some big soft leaves.
Oh, me neither.
Are they all right, Mildred?
I think so. Don't guess it's cholera or typhoid or any one of those tropical nasties. Much more likely to be a touch of good old Montezuma's revenge.
Never heard of that one.
Just a fancy name for the shits, Ryan. They drink plenty of water, they should be fine. Unless, of course, the thing's already in the water. Still, it'll stop them from dehydrating. That's the main thing. Might be better if I hang around the village for today. Keep an eye on them, just in case. I reckon it'll soon be over.
I'll come with you, lover. I'd like to walk off those bad memories from last night.
I'll stay behind as well.
Just the three of us, then. No need to take any food. We'll only be gone a couple of hours. Dean stood. Then the delighted expression vanished from his face, like a carnival mask being ripped away.
We're wrong, Dean.
Nothing. Come on, Dad, let's go.
The boy's cheeks were suddenly the color of water-sodden parchment. His dark eyes showed sudden horror. His whole body tensed, and he pressed his thighs together.
No, I'm gonna go, Dad. Get off without me. See you later.
Ryan watched his son as he made a desperate stumbling dash toward the outhouses.
Are you sure he'll be all right, Mildred?
Sure.
It's not some disease that's going to...
I told you, Ryan. You and Christy, get going right now.
And remember about keeping a weather eye open for any bushes with suitable large, soft leaves.
It was a beautiful morning.
That dreadful humidity that was so overpowering near the redoubt seems much better down here by the lake. It's a lovely summer day. Reminds me of the best of times when I was a girl back in Harmonyville.
Be nice to go back and visit there sometime. Ryan stretched and looked at the jungle all around them. The stepped four-sided pyramid still loomed against the bright green of the trees, a doleful reminder of the previous night. Christy nodded, hooking her left arm through his right, striding out, her hair flowing free across her broad shoulders.
You think the others are going to be all right? I felt bad for Dean, taken short like that.
Mildred isn't worried, so I'm not worried. They'll be fine. It's nice to have the forest to ourselves. Just the two of us.
It is.
The sun was a little way up on the eastern sector of the flawless blue sky. They passed a clump of enormously tall lilies with bright orange petals and a scent that filled the shimmering air. Butterflies danced among the bushes in every shade of the rainbow, and hummingbirds floated in the air, their long beaks dipping into the pools of nectar.
Paradise? I shouldn't say that. I know I've said it before, and it always seems to get drenched in blood the next moment.
Ryan stopped in mid-stride and pulled Christy against him, kissing her first on the side of the neck, then on the cheek, finally on the mouth, the tip of his tongue probing between her parted lips. She responded, and for several seconds they clung to each other. When they separated, Christy ran her fingers down his cheek.
You need a shave, lover.
Will that put you off?
No. What's that lovely old song that we heard in that frontier gaudy fastwood bar? Tall blonde woman at a beat-up piano. It had a line about taking me into the tall grass and letting me do my stuff. Something like that.
Why not?
They walked a yard off the trail, pushing through a shrub with a dense mass of brilliant red flowers that released a scent of fresh apples. Christy sat on the fresh green grass.
Think this is safe, lover?
I don't hear anything, except the normal noises around here.
Ryan was sitting by her, unbuckling the Sig Sauer and placing it close to hand.
I reckon the time to worry is when you suddenly don't hear those noises. It means something's coming that's double bad news.
Christy reached and held him in her strong fingers.
Only thing coming's this, and it's triple good, lover.
Ryan rolled over in the grass and kissed her, his tongue pushing again at her warm lips, his arms around her, feeling an overwhelming need for her body. Their lovemaking was slow and gentle, both of them taking their time, exploring each other's familiar bodies, and smiling into each other's eyes.
Soon.
Wait.
He could feel the muscles inside gripping him, beginning to flutter as she neared her own climax. Ryan was slightly slower than her, but his own orgasm was powerful, making him arch his back. There was a long stillness between them, lying side by side in the crushed grass, the warmth of the sun fierce on their exposed bodies. Something moved through the bushes behind them, and Ryan pulled up his pants, reaching for the butt of the automatic. Christy followed his lead, standing and buckling her belt.
What is it, lover?
Doesn't sound like anything too big, but it's going fast away from the east.
Best get on and take a look at the base.
Yeah. If it hadn't been for you and your excessive demands, we could have been there a good half hour ago.
She raised the middle finger of her right hand with exquisite delicacy and timing. They walked through the base, paying particular attention to the part of the complex where Dean had discovered the old armament. But there was nothing there, just rotting shelves and worm-eaten closets filled with rusting and burst tins, all of them without labels. Christy wiped away layers of grime and looked out of a splintered window.
I think they were herons or something like that. Long legs and big wings.
There was a smaller section farther back, past the store that held the containers of chemicals. A corroded shortwave radio was set on a tilting desk, with a corpse seated at it, slumped forward, earphones on his head over the earless skull. One bony hand was reaching for the controls. Ryan pointed wordlessly at the small caliber bullet hole through the back of the corpse's head, and the splinters of dark brown bone that were scattered all over the desk.
Took him from behind. Probably calling for help.
Ryan moved across the room.
There's that big tank I saw from yesterday. Could be gasoline.
No use to the natives. I bet there's not a wag within 500 miles of here.
Still.
The tank was 20 feet long, cylindrical on top, 12 feet in circumference. It had once been painted a rich, deep orange, but nearly a century of tropical humidity had reduced it to a watery yellow, the black stenciled letter and number code now almost totally illegible. Ryan and Christy made their silent way out of the military catacomb into the bright sunlight again. They paused, drinking in the fresh warm air, after the strange dank chill of the concrete buildings.
Look.
A magnificent jaguar, its glossy coat as black as midnight, stepped out of the wall of green on the eastern flank of the base, where the razor wire had fallen into total decay. Its great head turned and looked at the two human invaders of its domain, its golden eyes blank and unfathomable.
What a fabulous animal. I can see why the natives worship it, can't you? Walking death.
Looks uneasy, lover.
The jaguar kept looking over its shoulder, behind it, as though it were being pursued. The tip of its long tail was brushing back and forth over a carpet of dead leaves, and its sharp ears were pricked.
Slavers.
Something bothering it.
A crowd of gibbering monkeys appeared, swinging through the highest branches, chattering angrily at the jaguar and the man and woman below them. But in moments they were gone, moving westward. After a few seconds, the big predator followed them, padding silently off and disappearing into the striped darkness of the forest.
Something's going on. Seems to be rattling the whole forest. It could be slavers, I guess. Keep on double red.
Ryan walked over to the yellow tank and squatted by a round handle. He tried to turn it.
Damn it.
Want a hand, lover?
Yeah. Rusted shut for 100 years. Get both hands on it and give it your best shot.
Want me to use the Gaia power?
No.
All right, all right.
You know what it does to you using that power. This isn't the time or the place.
Fine. You want to do this yourself, Ryan?
Full of something, isn't it?
Gasoline?
Ryan stopped and braced himself against the handle again. The muscles knotted in his forearms, chest, and shoulders as he put all of his strength into it.
It's moving.
Hold it.
Christy knelt and put a finger under the faucet, where a thin trickle of oily liquid was seeping out. She touched it to her nose.
Yeah, gas all right. It's a shame we don't have the wags to use it.
Ryan tightened the handle again and wiped sweat from his forehead.
Yeah. Predar gasoline's worth more than its weight in jack back in Deathlands. The modern rough process stuff is nowhere near as good. Doesn't compare.
Think the slavers might have wags, lover?
I somehow doubt it. Terrain like this, the highways must be long gone and overgrown.
I guess so.
Trader would have loved finding this. Times he said that only himself and Gert Wolfram and the mutie they called the Magus were ever any good at finding the old gas.
Christy looked around, her head back. She closed her eyes, almost as though she were tasting the air.